Good morning, everyone. I want to begin the teaching this morning with a reading from the life of Jesus, from John, the 14th chapter. These are the words of Jesus. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that you would show yourself to us. I pray as we meditate deeply upon your truth that you would help us to see the confidence that you give us in our identity in Christ and the confirmation of that truth by your Holy Spirit that you have given that dwells within each one of your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you for just a moment about your identity in Christ. I'm speaking this morning not trying to convince those of you that may have not yet made a commitment to follow Jesus, but rather, I want to address those of us that have made that commitment, that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and how that changes everything about the way that you should see yourself and the way that God sees you. So I want to talk about your identity and what that means to be in Christ and to be one of God's children. The biblical scholar J.I. Packer once said something that I find to be extremely insightful and profound. He wrote these words, "Adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. It is higher than even our justification." He goes on, "To be right with God the judge is one thing, but to be loved for and cared for by God the Father, that is greater." And so that this morning I want us to meditate deeply on the concept of who we are in Christ, and in order to understand that, we have to understand the idea of adoption. That you and I, because of what Jesus did, we have been adopted into God's family, that makes you and me children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ Himself. Which means that we're not just made right with God the judge because of what Jesus did, but we have been embraced into God's family and we are now loved by and cared for by God the Father. And that's even better. And so this morning we're going to explore that for just the next few moments. The idea of being adopted into God's family is a metaphor that is used exclusively by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And he uses it 5 times throughout his writings. The idea of adoption, when you think of it, probably from our context here in Western America, We tend to, in the Western world, in America, we tend to think of adoption almost exclusively in terms of someone who is unable to have children that wants to adopt an infant or a child. But in the Roman context in which Paul writes, that was rarely the case. Adoption in the first century Roman world was more with someone of great means or wealth or political power wanting to obtain an heir because they did not have one, and they would regularly adopt an adult that was a near kinsman, a blood relative in their family that they embraced to be adopted as their child who would then be their heir. It was almost unheard of in the Roman world in which Paul wrote for a child to be adopted. It was almost unheard of for a slave to be adopted. And it was almost never the case that someone would adopt another person if they already had a rightful blood heir. So when Paul uses the word of adoption, he uses something that they would have been familiar with, but he takes that idea and adapts it into a much more beautiful concept. And that is essentially this in a nutshell, that because of what Jesus did for you and me, God has adopted you and I who were slaves of sin, and we have now been elevated to a place of tremendous privilege because we've been adopted into God's family as heirs, even though God already has a rightful heir in Jesus, His Son. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, this identity shift for you and me is confirmed by the fact that Jesus sent His Holy Spirit to testify to the truthfulness of our adoption, to be a constant reminder in the heart of every believer that we are fully chosen, we are fully desired, and we are fully loved in Jesus Christ by God the Father. Well, how in the world does the Holy Spirit reassure you and me of that? I think He does so in at least three different ways that are revealed in the Scripture. And I want us to briefly look at each one of those. First of all, anytime you have an adoption process, both in the ancient world and today as well, there are certain legal requirements that are involved for an adoption to be completed. In a spiritual way, the same is true. That for the adoption for you and me to be embraced into God's family, there were some legal requirements. Because legally, before God, we were separated and alienated from Him. But there was a legal requirement that must be paid. Sin must have it has a penalty, and a payment must be made for the penalty. Jesus Christ is described in the Bible, especially like in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, that we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the Lord. The word advocate, parakletos in the Greek, is a word that means a defense attorney. So it's almost like we're appearing before God the judge, and we know we're in the wrong, and we need some case to be made. And Jesus makes an ironclad case, and that is, yes, they're guilty. And we're not asking for mercy, we're not asking for another chance, but instead we're asking for justice. And you say, what? Asking for justice? And Jesus says, absolutely, asking for justice. And justice demands this, that you cannot give judgment toward a sin that has already been paid for. Jesus says, I already paid for it. And so it's the only just thing to allow this person's sins to be forgiven and removed. And so we have a proper legal justification that we've been made right with God the judge. And that's beautiful. But even better than that, Jesus says, I'm going to send another defense attorney that stands in the place for you that is of the same type as I am, but another one of the same kind, the Holy Spirit. Well, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit legitimizes the adoption, or we might put it this way, He ratifies the legal justification that Jesus accomplished for you and I by putting the right signatures on the adoption papers. The Holy Spirit Himself is God's personal signature that is written on the heart of every believer that legitimizes or ratifies or authenticates the legal documentation that you've been adopted into God's family. And you say, well, where are you getting that from? Ephesians 1, chapter verses 1 through 13. Let's look at it here. I think I've got it on the screen. Yes, here we go. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So Paul here says that whenever we believed in Jesus Christ, we were marked as being God's children. And how were we marked as being believers in Christ and followers of Jesus? We were marked with a seal, and that seal is what? The seal is the Holy Spirit Himself. What is the significance of the seal? In ancient times, it was often the case that rulers and kings would legitimize or authenticate a legal document by virtue of a seal. A seal was their special mark, often used on a signet ring. That mark was a mark that was exclusive to that particular monarch. He would dip it in wax, a hot wax, and then place the seal on the document, which authenticated and was basically his personal signature that was saying, this document is legit. This document is authentic. It is from me and it belongs to me. Paul here says the Holy Spirit functions in that way for the believer. It is God's personal seal on you. It is the signature of God that you are, in fact, a child of God. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given. The Holy Spirit Himself is God's personal signature on you. But then notice secondly, not only is He God's signature on you, but the Holy Spirit is also wants to give confidence to you and I about the fact that we have truly been adopted. I can't really imagine what this would be like. Perhaps some of you can, and all too many children out there today certainly can. What it must feel like to bounce from house to house in a foster care system, always uncertain as to whether or not you're ever going to find embrace and welcome and find a place that you can call home. Well, in the same way, Christians, even though we can know intellectually that Jesus Christ paid for our sins and we were made right with the judge, we can, like a child bouncing from house to house in the foster care system, we can deep down emotionally in our hearts question whether or not we have truly been adopted as God's child. We can question in our hearts, do I really have confidence that God has embraced me, that He loves me as my Father? And so more than just knowing the truth of it in our minds, we need to feel and have impressed on our hearts a sense of the reality of our identity change and being adopted into God's family. Well, thankfully, the Holy Spirit functions in that role as well. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, Paul says this: for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit that you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs or co-heirs with Christ. So here in this particular passage, Paul is emphasizing this truth that, you know what, like a small infant would crawl in the lap of her father. And you know, infants are not like adolescents. You know, an adolescent comes to the father and starts kind of wanting some affection. And you know, as a father, you think, well, what do you want? You want money? You want the car keys? What's your angle? What's your agenda? Small little children, infants, don't have an agenda. When an infant crawls in the lap of the father, all the infant wants is to just sit in daddy's lap and see daddy's face. Look me in the face, daddy. And so Paul says, that's what the Holy Spirit has given you. He's given you the spirit of adoption, so you can now cry out with the language of an infant and basically say, daddy, or Abba, father, and just want the father's embrace and want the assurance of his love. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and gives this affirming testimony that we are in fact God's children. You see, we need that. Because I can know it in my mind that, yeah, I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me as a believer. God's signature's on me. I know Jesus Christ died for me. My sins have been paid for. I know that I'm his child. But you know what? Deep down inside of me emotionally, there are days when I begin to question that. My heart begins to question it. Look at this passage. It says, down deep in my own spirit, the Holy Spirit himself right there gives a testimony. In the testimony in the courtroom of my own heart, that I am, in fact, God's child, and I need to listen to him. There's a movie, The Help. I don't know how many of you have seen The Help. So if you've not seen it, you should see it. It's really a great movie. But in The Help, there's this scene where the caregiver lady, looks at the child and wants to affirm the child's sense of identity and worth because the child's parents are kind of neglectful. But this caregiver looks at the child, grabs the child in the face, looks her in the eyes, and says, "You is loved." I don't remember exactly what she said, but essentially the Holy Spirit says that. The Holy Spirit looks at us and says, "You is loved. You is adopted. You is God's child. You've been embraced into God's family." The Holy Spirit's grabbing hold of your heart and saying that. But God wants you to know it. He wants you to be sure of it. So more than just putting his signature on you, more than the Holy Spirit trying to talk to your heart and give that testimony, God says, I'll do you even one better. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit as a down payment. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. Now it is God who makes us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. There's this same imagery again. He set his seal of ownership on us, and here's another part. He put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Some translations will say an earnest or a down payment, guaranteeing what is to come. You see, God wants you and I to be sure that we are his children and that we have been adopted. He is serious about you and I knowing that we're in his family. He wants to give you and I, as we sing in a hymn sometimes, a foretaste of glory divine. He wants to give you a little taste of what is to come. And so he puts his Holy Spirit inside of you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And he wants to, by so doing, increasingly bring to your awareness in ever-increasing ways, the magnitude of the warmth of God's love for you and me. And that's exactly what he says in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. Listen to this prayer. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit, when Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, and that you may have the power to understand with all of God's people how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is, and that you may experience the love of Christ that is beyond just intellectual knowledge, that you may come to know something that is even beyond knowing. And what's the point of this? Paul's saying, listen, the Holy Spirit has been placed inside of you as a believer so that you will begin to have an actual sense of, an experiential knowledge of the magnitude of God's love for you as his child. The Holy Spirit is going to continue to increasingly make you aware of how much God has done to love you and to bring you into his embrace. So that assurance comes then because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And that is why it is so important for me and for you that we do not resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit on our hearts. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. That is why it is so important that you and I don't live in ways that are contrary to our identity as God's adopted children, so that we don't behave in ways that grieve the Holy Spirit's indwelling inside of our hearts. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. That is why it's so important that you and I don't quench the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. That is why it's so important that you and I welcome the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, that we be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verses 18 and 19. And finally, that's why it's so important that you and I live in a pathway and embrace a lifestyle and live in rhythms of Christian discipleship that are such that we do not compromise our confidence, but instead we daily welcome the fellowship of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 14. Now, more than just the affirmation alone, I mean, we need that. We need to know and be affirmed of our adoption, that God has put His signature on us, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit is giving this down payment, guaranteeing that we are God's child. More than just that affirmation, you and I need to understand just what being adopted into Christ really means. It means you're in a whole different family now. If you stop and think about it, for many of us, our sense of identity, the sense of who you are, has been greatly influenced by your family, by your upbringing, by your parentage. That is the reason why that it is regularly the case that people that have been adopted will, when they get to a certain age, begin to ask questions about their biological parents. And they'll go to great lengths to do research and even make long trips to meet their biological parents. You say, well, why would you have that curiosity? Why do you care? And a lot of times the reason why we care is because we know intuitively that our parentage has shaped, in some ways, our identity. And so we want to know. Your identity has changed when you've been adopted into God's family. And so to understand where you come from and the family that you're a part of is so important to living the way that God wants you to live. The shift of identity that we've had, according to the passages we've looked at this morning, is that no longer are we slaves. So we don't have to live in fear anymore, but instead we can live in the freedom and the confidence knowing we are sons and daughters of the King. And we're in His family now. And we are heirs, rightfully, along with Jesus Christ. So instead of being anxious, you and I have been welcomed into a place of belonging in Jesus. I think a powerful illustration of this, the unspeakable freedom, spiritual freedom that being adopted as sons and daughters of the King brings to our identity, is so beautifully illustrated by Russell Moore. He's got a book called Adopted for Life. It was published in 2015, and in that book, The author speaks of how he and his wife adopted two boys from a Russian orphanage. And I want you to listen to this brief description of that experience. When Maria and I at last long received the call that the legal process was over, and we returned to Russia to pick up our new sons, we found that their transition from orphanage to family was more difficult than we had ever supposed. We dressed the boys in outfits our parents had bought for them, and we nodded our thanks to the orphanage personnel and walked out into the sunlight to the terror of these two boys. They had never seen the sun, and they had never felt the wind. They had never heard the sound of a car door slamming. They had never had the sensation of being carried along at 100 miles an hour down the road. He said, I looked in the back seat and I noticed that the boys were shaking. And they were reaching back to the orphanage in the distance. I whispered to one of the boys, that place is a pit. If you only knew what's waiting for you, a home, a mommy, and a daddy who love you, and grandparents, and great-grandparents, and cousins, and playmates, and McDonald's Happy Meals. If you only knew. But all they knew was the orphanage. It was a filthy place, but they had no other reference point. It was home. We knew the boys had finally acclimated to our home and that they finally trusted us when they stopped hiding food in their high chairs. They knew there'd be another meal coming and they wouldn't have to fight for the scraps. This was the new normal. God has adopted you and me. And He wants us to stop reaching back. That's why He gives each one of us His Holy Spirit. He wants you and me to stop worrying, to stop hiding, to stop living like slaves and fighting over scraps. He wants us to stop living like orphans and enjoy His love. The Spirit is the Spirit of His Son. And when you have been adopted with the Spirit of the Son, it helps you to experience security and affection and the divine Son Himself receives from the Father. He doesn't want it to be your duty. He wants it to be your love. He doesn't want you to act like a casual acquaintance or a polite house guest or an employee who just discharges his responsibilities. He wants you to live like a royal son. He wants you to live like a princess. He wants to give you the spirit of adoption so that you'll know the freedom of an heir. And He gives you the Spirit of His Son. And He says, stop living like a slave and live like a child of God, like a follower of Jesus. Stop reaching back. Stop hiding scraps. And realize you now have a home. And this is your new normal. This morning, have you been adopted in the family of God? The way that you can know that is you got to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. He is the seal of your inheritance. You say, well, how do I get the Holy Spirit? Well, in Acts chapter 18, Paul came to a place in Ephesus where he found 12 people that were making an attempt to follow Jesus. And his first question was not, have you been baptized? His first question was not, are you a member of the church? His first question was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That was his first question. And so that's the question I ask you. Do you believe in Jesus? And have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? You say, how can I know? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the audience in Peter's crowd that day says, when they're convicted of the fact that they've been guilty of murdering their only hope of salvation in Jesus Christ, they say, what can we do? What should we do? And he says, get up right now, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that is your need this morning. Maybe we can help you in some way. Maybe we can pray for you. If we can help you in any way, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.